So, hi everyone. I'm Marcel. I'm a software engineer at Kleiso. I work there on Think Ceph. And today I'm going to talk about Understanding Ceph, a journey from metrics to tracing, which is a bit of a conclusion from a learning journey for myself on this topic. So, to scope and set a bit of goals for this is a sequel to a Cephalocon talk from last year. But it kind of stands on its own as well. But if you're interested more into the metrics part, or as it's in the Ceph context mostly referred to, performance counters, there's that talk. And if we put the topic a bit on this triangle between tool crafting, understanding Ceph, and understanding the tools, my goal is a bit to lean a bit towards tool crafting, also convey a bit of information about Ceph, and not too much about the tools themselves. At the end, I hope you get, like me, a good intuition of where things are useful and what to use them for. And the talk is roughly split into three parts. I first go into an intro, bit of metrics, a bit of tracing and what kind of tools I picked for this task, and then I walk through two examples. The first one, I start with counter metrics and see where we can add more knowledge with event tracing, and the second is we measure latency. And then we use tracing to add even more metrics to understand latency better. So, some definitions, but can distinguish stuff here. So, a metric is a measurement of a service captured at runtime. So the definition of OpenTelemetry. Some examples are the browser sends a write, we increment a write counter. The OSD performs some operation, we record the latency and update an average latency. Tracing, on the other hand, refers to the process of capturing and recording information about the execution of a software program. So this can be a mixed bag, right? We can record all routers operations. We can ask the question what function issues all those watch operations we see in our metrics? Or we can do system-wide tracing and capture all the open or exec calls. Both things allow us to answer questions to the runtime behavior of our system, but a bit differently. With metrics, they are usually defined during development time, but with tracing, we can have more options and freedom to ask things later. All right, a bit about what kind of data types we are looking at. This is mostly about metrics, and in the Ceph context we usually distinguish four types of metric data with gauges. This is free space left on an OSD, with weight, fill level, how many requests are waiting in a request queue. We have counters. These are just values that go up. They might go through zero if you restart a service, but these are the things you you take the derivative and have a rate from. There's also histograms. They're kind of like counters, but you got these buckets. And in this example on the slide here, our buckets are latency ranges. For example, if we observe a latency of a millisecond, we would increment a counter for the 1 to 3 millisecond bucket. This is great to see how is our latency, for example, distributed. They're not too common in the Ceph context. Way more common are long-running averages. And these are, in this chart here, this is the green line. And if we have these observations here, T1 to T10, these bars, every time we have an observation, we update our running average. So in tracing, it's not only events that we capture, but we can also use tracing to generate most of these data as well. We can use tracing to generate histograms or count things as well. So there is an overlap here. All right. When it comes to tracing, what are our options in this context here? And there is a range. We have from the simplest uprobes, which is basically let's hook a function call and run our tracing call whenever this function call is called in our code. The simplest tracing points we probably can have in a user space app. On the complete other hand, we have OpenTelemetry tracing, or in the Ceph context, You often find it called Jaeger tracing. This is like distributed tracing, spans that are across multiple nodes, like the more complicated stuff. There is an like older tracing implementation you find in Ceph called Blockin or Zipkin. These are, according to the docs, deprecated, so I grayed out a bit here. And there is LTTNG, so this is trace points that have been in the Ceph codebase for a while now. They allow you to add some extra trace points here and there in the source code. And the great thing about it, that I will show like in two slides a bit more, is that they are compatible with USDT trace points. These are user statically defined tracing points that allow us to use other traces than LTTNG on them. So they are in green by accident. These are the kind of trace points we will look at to understand more Ceph. And I also I already mentioned eBPF. And this is because we are using eBPF tracing tools to go at this tracing. And there's a kind of, also again, from easy to hard to use, there are a couple of tools to choose from. Though I prefer to start always with BPF trace. This has a syntax that is like awk. And allows you to like ad hoc write some scripts and get the answers easily. There's also BCC, the BPF compiler collection. This is like Python with inline C, more complex. It's very common that you start with BPF trace scripts and then go to BCC for something more complex later if you need like argument parsing and making output nicer. There's also libBPF, a fully fee thing. It has some additional features that are like great if you want to ship stuff here and there. But my favorite is BPF trace, and this is what we mostly look at. So I said that Ceph has these LTTNG probes. So in the source code, if you look around, you will find this lines like this above here, trace point. Then we have like a grouping name, in this case OSDC. And then we have a trace point name and some arguments. And how can we use BPF on that? So essentially, this trace point line here, it's a C macro, this translates into an SCT probe, which is our USDT probe, and plus something for LTTNG. And just as like a note on that, these probes are actually kind of cool. They're, if you compile your software with those probes, what they do is, at that point of the trace point, they add a knob operation as a placeholder, and add some metadata to the binary. So that if you go around with the tracer, it uses that metadata to find the place of the knob, tells the kernel, please replace that with a call to our tracer. And the other cool thing is that I checked, I think, the last two recent Ceph container images, and those trace points are actually baked in. So you can like do all this tracing stuff on your production environment. And yeah, to summarize, we can BPF trace those trace points. Cool, right? And no? Yeah. So what does it mean to trace a thing? And what we can do when we run a thing like BPF trace on our code is it runs our tracing code. So we can generate output, event tracing. We can count events. We can also condense these measurements into histograms and stats and all these things. So this like limit, so and this all runs in a VM in the kernel, so that's like so it's pretty efficient at the end of the day. But there's always some challenges, right? So I ran through writing a couple of scripts, and so especially if you don't have nice USDT probes available and have to stick to U probes and you have function calls, especially in the Ceph context, you end up to have to trace all these deeply nested C++ structs, and this can be hard to get the information you want out of that. So having debug info on this helps, especially if you have a newer BPF trace version that has support for that. But debug info on your servers might not be practical. I think it's like a gig or two in size. So that might be like problem in prod, right? The alternative is that you can start like mocking those structs and having like simplified versions in your tracing code. This is okay, but yeah, has its also its drawbacks, especially if things change and stuff. I also ran a couple of times into eBPF stack limitations. It's, I think, not even a K you have available there, especially if you are tracing with large strings. You kind of run out of space, and the thing doesn't compile anymore. There's workarounds for that, but just keep out for that. It's something to run into. The nicest thing to have is USDT trace points that have extracted arguments, that directly have arguments that point you to the interesting data. That's the best thing to have. Also, like a small word of cautions, when I try to